you cool cats and space cowboys. It's time for Cosmic Tea with your host, Avalon Starlight.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Cosmic Tea Podcast. I'm Avalon Starlight, your host, and I'm really excited to be back. I've taken the last few weeks to kind of just, you know, do some internal work, gain some clarity about what I would love to see the direction of this podcast going. And with that comes a little news that I'm trying to create some space to be able to support the communities that I'm here to support. And so moving forward, there will only be one Cosmic Tea podcast every single week. It will alternate between me sharing a message about something that I want to riff on, and then the following week I'll introduce you to an amazing human. And so it will continue on, so there will only be one Cosmic Tea podcast every single month. However, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, I am adding a meditation into YouTube every single week as well. So if you head over to the Empath Healer in YouTube, you will see that I do live energy forecasts, the Cosmic Tea podcast, and moving forward, I'll have a meditation available for you as well each week. So that's very exciting. So I want to talk to you about why I took 3 weeks off from doing a podcast. And when I was thinking about how to best present this information, one of the things that came up was kind of talking about the difference between being a highly sensitive person and an empath, because there's a lot of similarities, but there's definitive differences that are really important to share about and hopefully help you understand if you fall into a highly sensitive person category, if you fall into an empath category, or if you're both like me. So first, let me just talk to you about what empathy is, right? Like, so empathy is an emotion. It's you being able to understand what somebody is going through. It's something that you can foster if you're not a highly sensitive person or an empath. You can create more empathy in your life. You can practice feeling what other people are feeling. And most of that time, you're just imagining yourself being in someone else's shoes and what they're experiencing, right? Highly sensitive person takes it to the next level, right? So we are born with a gene in our brain, SERT, CERT gene. And this means that we process information differently than everybody else on the planet. So it is not based on trauma, which empaths tend to have more trauma-based. Being a highly sensitive person is a neurological experience. It is not something we have any control over. It is something we are born with. And up to 30% of the population is highly sensitive. This term was coined by Elaine Aron, the grandmother of the highly sensitive person. And so you can read The Highly Sensitive Person by Elaine Aron, and also a new book called Sensitive by, and I'll put it in the comments, Jennifer Granerman and it's right there and I can't read it. Andre Solo. Those two books really, really help you understand the traits of being a highly sensitive person so much better than I'm going to be able to define in a 15-minute podcast. However, once you understand that your brain is wired differently than the rest of the population, you begin to understand, you begin to take ownership, you begin to take responsibility for how that works in the world. So one of the key things about being a highly sensitive person is that we have a depth of processing. You know, I was staying with some friends on Vancouver Island watching their dog, and it was a really fascinating experience to notice that, I'm going to give you an example of the depth of processing. This husband and wife couple came in and they sat down in the living room. I was sitting there, and you know, the one says, "Oh, what's your plan for today?" Right? So the wife shares what her day looks like. And she says to her husband, "What does your day look like?" And he shares his day. And they go about their business, never even remembering what the other person says. I have retained both of their schedules and navigated where I'm going to place myself in the house throughout the day. When's the best time to be in the kitchen? Where to create space for them, because they have work to do. And it all happens immediately. So when you are a highly sensitive person, when you go into any spaces, places, conversations, you're constantly processing deeply everything that's occurring around you. You can walk into a party and you understand the tone of the party. You can look up, you can see the facial expressions and know who's feeling really good, who looks like they're feeling really sad. You know where the bathrooms are. You understand like what the like navigation of the room is going, like where the food is. Like, it's an immediate understanding of everything that's occurring deeply to your soul. So how this turns into a negative for a highly sensitive person is that we tend towards overstimulation, right? So if we're constantly into a space of deeply processing everything as we're going throughout the world, then if it continues and we don't have time to like just kind of shut everything off and clear our energy, then we'll take in too much and it will cause overstimulation, which means that we get overwhelmed, cranky, tired, incapable of functioning. And this is because we have just been processing too much information without a break. And so as a highly sensitive person, one of the most important things for me to understand about myself is that I am always processing. So I know that I feel, hear, see things 10x to the regular population. Highly sensitive is a spectrum, right? Like you can be mildly highly sensitive or you can be highly, highly sensitive, which I am, right? So closed textures, it's very dependent. And, you know, I have studied the differences between being highly sensitive and autistic as well. And yes, there are some similarities, but they have a breadth So we're depth of processing, they're breadth of processing, meaning they're constantly looking at many things all at once where we're going deeply in. But the similarities is like textures or clothing can feel like if it's scratchy, there's no wool for me. If there's something in my shoe, stop it. I cannot. The sounds of people eating soup and cereal are offensive to me because it's just slurping and like clinging of things. And so I used to struggle a lot with misophonia, which is the sound of somebody chewing, being aggressive. I had an IEP in university when I was in university that was like, I had to write my tests in a separate room because the sound of chewing, lip smacking, pens tapping were so overwhelming, it would cause me anxiety. And until I actually accepted that I was highly sensitive and I was processing so deeply, I would suffer from anxiety because I didn't know how to verbalize or share the experiences that I was going through without somebody or feeling judged, right? And so to give you a reason why I was off for 3 weeks, my business has been like kind of like needing some extra attention. And because I was processing so much information and working in that avenue, in that arena, that I needed to take a step back and just take time to myself to just like have that quiet space. It is the most important thing for a highly sensitive person to have, which is a place or a space where you can be alone that is for you and only you, where you can just let the day's events go, let any emotions. I often say to my partner, I'm like, there's nothing more exciting for me than when I have the house to myself, because I don't even have to be thinking about where somebody is in the house, what they're doing. Because if there's people in the house, even though it's my own space, I'm thinking, processing where they are, what they're doing, how it's impacting everybody else in the house. And it's uncontrollable. So space time, I also believe as highly sensitive people, taking at least 1 to 2 trips a week, even if it's just a night or a weekend away by yourself, so that you can just again cleanse and clear your energy, is such a powerful thing. Since I've introduced this into my life, such a difference it makes. Okay. So that's highly sensitive person. The second thing is an empath. So empaths tend to have come from a lot of trauma in their childhoods, which has made them, you know, experience energy a little differently. So when you become hypervigilant, meaning that something has happened in your childhood where you have to like really place close attention to how people are navigating the world around you. So for me, I grew up in a house with a lot of mental illness, and there was some narcissistic abuse in there, and there was just like a whole bunch of sexual trauma. Like it was just a cocktail, right? But understanding the moods of the people of my house was so important to my well-being. So I would train myself to understand what the sound of a cupboard closing sounded like, the footsteps, the huffing, the tone of voice that were being used, because I needed to know when I left my room, what version of me I needed to be leaving with to ensure that I was safe and that I was secure. So when we become so attuned to energy in our childhood, oftentimes it creates some sort of like avenue for us to be able to, I call this receivers of energy. So if you think about like a radio receiver, right? There are radio waves everywhere. And when you have a good receiver, you're just tuning the tuner to find different stations of energy that you can actually hear, right? So as me, as being an empath, I think of it as like constantly energy is flowing to and through me. And because of my childhood trauma, I have navigated and learned the skill of being able to tune to different levels of frequency that I run through me to ensure that I'm placing myself in as much safety and security as possible. Now, oftentimes in a childhood situation, we don't even know we're doing it. We're just doing it because it's how we stay safe and how we stay secure. And so there often comes a point in an empath's life where they have, and you may have just kept your gift the whole time, but you will notice that you create like some sort of connection to your gift. For me, that looked like I wouldn't just play Barbies or with my stuffies. Like I could feel the energy of this. I would create like these entire life like experiences with these dolls. These dolls would talk to me. I would feel their energy. Like I would create whole relationships with my dolls. Right? Later to realize after I went through one of my dark nights of my soul, because I believe we have more than one. It's how we have compound catalytic experiences. And it was in one of these dark nights of my soul that I began to receive information in meditation. And when I started to understand these voices in my head that I was hearing in meditation were real, then they sprung into real life. And so like I can speak to my higher self. I can be in somebody else's energy and speak to their higher self. And so like for me, I'm a fire empath and I have done an entire podcast episode on the four different elemental types of empaths. And as a fire empath, I'm able to go into people's energy and feel, see, hear, know, depending on whose energy I'm in, what's going on underneath their experiences, underneath their emotions, right? But I was doing this as a child. So an empath now isn't just at the level of the brain, processing information deeply and being able to navigate the world around them through what they're able to process. An empath now becomes the receiver of energy. And so now energy flows through them in a way that, you know, is different. It's different because when you are a conduit of energy at this level, you feel things that don't belong to you. You hear things that other people don't hear. You experience the world through a different lens, a different frequency of energy. And it's like, I call it a spiritual gift because I believe that when we came to Earth, we chose our childhoods, we chose our parents to experience what we experienced so that we could learn to step into these roles. Oftentimes empaths step into the role of being a healer because we have had so much trauma and we understand that we want to heal ourselves. And we do all this work to heal ourselves so that we can support the next person ready to have their own spiritual awakening and step into healing themselves for the next level of their work or their expression or their mission here on Earth. And so it can be a really beautiful thing. Once again, you claim being either highly sensitive, an empath, or both. For me, when I was almost like numb to the idea that I was a highly sensitive person or an empath. I didn't even know what those terms meant. It was very exhausting for me. I would go to the grocery store, come home, and I needed to take a nap because I had no awareness that this was a gift, that this is a strength that we have, that when fostered can become something that is so innately part of who we are and so supportive to a community of people that we can serve through our work. I find that highly sensitive people make great leaders, right? Like they can go, they can see the higher picture. They can see what's happening in a company, in a human resources space. They tend to make great physicians, nurses, doctors and physicians. They could be the same thing, but I was thinking of like therapists, psychotherapists, because of the capacity to be able to process so deeply. Whereas empaths, we tend to navigate towards jobs where we are utilizing our gifts, because once we've accepted these gifts as part of who we are, it's as natural for me as breathing now, right? Like it is just part of who I am. Then I can't imagine not sharing these gifts with the world or supporting other empaths and stepping into their light with this gift, because I trust that it came to me for purpose and reason. And that even though my childhood might have been challenging, and I'm not saying every empath has to have a childhood that is traumatic, it just tends to be the catalyst for us, not always, but mostly. And I asked that question in a group once that I was hosting. I was like, who here like aligns with the fact that they had a challenging childhood into becoming an empath? And it was 100% yes, right? So statistically, if you ask an empath if they had a challenging childhood, the answer will be yes. And so this is the main difference, right? So understanding that highly sensitive people have a gene, the CERT gene, that just helps them process information deeply. The overwhelm is overstimulation and to navigate having alone time. Whereas being an empath, you are oftentimes on the scale of being a highly sensitive person. And then you add in that you're transferring energy to and through you, whether it's of animals, plants, locations, emotions, physicality, whatever your particular empath gift is. But I will link the four different elemental empaths so you can kind of navigate if you're curious about that, which empath you are, and I'll put those in the notes below. But I'm curious now, if you've made it through this entire podcast, which one most aligns with you? Do you feel more connected to being a highly sensitive person? Do you feel more connected to being an empath? And maybe you're like me and you know with every ounce of your being you're a highly sensitive empath. And I would love to hear. So tag me on Instagram at The Empath Healer. Share your comments below here on YouTube. Share this with a friend who you know is maybe coming into their awareness that they have one of these two traits, right? Being an empath or highly sensitive person, and allow them to be able to hear something that, because I wish I had that, right? Like I wish that I had the clarity, because the minute I knew that I had an empath, it allowed me to begin to shift my life to support being an empath. So I wasn't being overwhelmed by the world. I became in control of the energy. And whew, when you start to control the energy, that's when you dance. That's when things get really good. So excited to hear from you all. And I look forward to coming back in a couple weeks. Next week, I have a really incredible guest, Maria. And oh, geez, she is a powerful witch, y'all. So tune in next week to her story because it is mesmerizing. And I look forward to talking to you soon.